Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Come on, sing.
Oh,
Mary Smith McCoy, the preacher and evangelist of the hour,
And we want to impart to you the word of God on today. We have time to call a neighbor, call a friend. Let them know that the Hour of Power broadcast is on the air. We are getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed will be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Father, we thank you for all that you have done. We thank you, God, for all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for this day, for this hour, for the broadcasting audience. Thank you, God, today we ask you, Lord God, now we thank you for their healing, for their deliverance. God calls your blessings to be ever, Father God, upon them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You are listening to the Hour of Power broadcast. And yes, we are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Today, we are going to be taking a walk through the Word of God, the Word of truth, the Word that will cause our lives to be changed, the Word of God that will give us awakening, the Word of God that will save us, the Word of God that will sanctify us, the Word of God that will fill us with His Spirit and His power and His anointing. Today we're going to be coming from the book of 1 Samuel, the 25th chapter, beginning at that second verse. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish, evil in his doing, and he was house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men and said unto the young men, get you up unto Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace and to both to thee, peace be to thy house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I heard that thou hast sheared now thy shepherds which were with us. We hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and say, will, and they will show thee. Therefore, let the young men find favor in thy eyes. For we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thy hand unto thy servant and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and cease. And Nabal answered David's servant and said, who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away everyone from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears that and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way, went again, and told him all those sayings. And David said unto the men, girdle ye on every man his sword. And they girdled every man his sword, and David also girdled on his sword, and there went up after David about 400 men and 200 of gold and the stuff. Now, what I want to say to you this morning, as we stop just for a little bit, I want you to hear what God is saying to his people. Now, when we look at the 25th chapter of 1 Samuel, we see that there was a man named Nabal. Now, Nabal, he was one, as the word of God tells us, that he had 3,000 sheep. He had 1,000 goats. And this man was great. They called him, he was very great. And so because of the fact of his possession, because of what he had, he could have nothing, and we could have nothing except God give us abundance in our life. So it began to outline the possession that Nabal had. And I'm quite sure that those that was around about him knew what he possessed. And because he possessed so much, because he was a great man, because he had these 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, they thought a lot of him just because he was great in that aspect. And then it tells about he not only had the sheep, he not only had the goats, but he had a wife, and his wife's name was Abigail. And Abigail was a beautiful countenance. This woman was she had great understanding, good understanding, and she was Nabal's wife, whose name was Abigail. Now the word of God tells us that Nabal, he was churlish. In other words, this man was a harsh man. Hear his tone of voice. You can hear him as he talked to David's men. He had what he wanted, and because he had what he desired to have, and because he was great in this aspect, he did not know how to talk to those that are around about him. He was not one that had compassion. The word tells us that this man was evil. So that tells us what type of man we are speaking of on today. But David, because of his men and how David and his men had guarded and had protected this same evil man, this same man that was called great, same man that had so much, they thought that David sent his men to inquire of Nabal, to ask him, in other words, to share, to give him what he thought that was that would be appropriate unto David and his men. because David was in the wilderness. David was in need. People that was with him as being a leader, he knew that he had to provide for those that were with him. So therefore, he sent his men, and he to Nabal. Nabal, when he heard what these men, when he seen them, David had inquired. He had told them, when we look at that picture, David had, after he had sent, he didn't send all his men, but he sent 10 of them. He sent 10 of his young men, and he told him to go unto Nabal and to greet him in his name, in the name of David. And he told them what to say to them, to send them off, but he told them what to say. And he said this to tell Nabal. This is what you have said unto Nabal. He said, thus shall you say to him that live in prosperity. So you see that this man had a lot. He had he was rich, he was wealthy, and he had inquired a lot. But David is saying, this is what I want you to say unto Nabal. He said, thus shall you say unto him that live in prosperity. He said to say to them, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. So in other words, David wasn't going there biggity. He wasn't going because of who he was. He was going there in order to get some things that he needed, Nabal. After all, he had taken very good care, he and his men, of Nabal's possession, of his flock, of his sheep, of his goats while they were in the wilderness, while they were there. They kept others from coming to attack them. They kept the wild beasts and those things that would come against Nabal's property. They, while he was there, they were protecting them. It was like a wall around about them. But when David's men began to speak unto him, after he had spoke unto them, the word of God let us know that when we began to read in that 10th verse, and Nabal answered David's servant and said, who is David? In other words, I don't know any David. And he said, who is the son of Jesse? So he wanted to know, he was saying to them, I don't know David. I don't know his father. He said to him, there'll be many servants nowadays. In other words, there are many people that have broke away from their masters. And they're just kind of like running around, and they don't have any leadership, and they're just out there, renegades. I don't know David. And then he was saying he was so bigoted, and he was not humble. He was not humble at all. The word of God has already told us how evil he was. We already know that he had a great prosperity. But then he said, shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came unto and told David what they were saying and what he was saying. And David said unto his young men, he said unto the men, he told them to girdle up every man his sword. See, they were getting ready to fight. He was getting ready. Oh, he was angry because of the fight that he didn't show compassion. He was angry with him because he didn't care about their welfare. He was angry with him because after all, the time that during that period of time that they were out in the wilderness, he protected that which neighbor had. But he didn't show any appreciation at all. So David told his men. He told them to gird up their sword. And David also, he girded up his sword, and he took his 400 men. He was getting ready to destroy Nabal and all that he had. When I look at the word of God, even as I began to look at this study, and the Lord began to bring unto my heart that scripture that says, "For what is a man profit if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And another question it posed in the same verse, "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" This man had profited many things. He had profited a lot. I've already told you about the 3,000 sheep and the 1,000 goats that he had. And it didn't mention all the other things that Nabal had. But he had a lot. But this man was uppity. This man was ungrateful. This man was unthankful. This man was a man that thought he had obtained and gained things all by himself. But the question is, what is a man profit? What does it profit a man? And when we say a man, that means men and women. What should it profit a man if you should gain the whole world? You could be the richest person there is that lives on this earth. But what is it to gain the world, to have all the worldly goods, to drive the Mercedes, to live on the house on the hill, to have billions of dollars in the bank, and yet lose your own soul? What does it profit you? Naaman, all he could think about was what he had. This man talked to David's men as if they were like renegades and that they were not important to him. He talked to them like, "I don't care if you don't eat. I don't care what you don't have. Because this is what, why should I take what I have and give to you?" That's when David got upset. That's when he got mad. That's when he told his men to go and to prepare themselves, in other words, to build up themselves. And he took his 400 men, and the word says that 200 voted by their stuff, by their belongings. And one of the young men told Abigail, the one of the men that was standing there with when David's men had approached Nabal. And he went back and told his wife. Remember, said in the word of God that the word tell us that Nabal wife was Abigail, and Abigail had good understanding, and she had a beautiful countenance. She had good understanding. So when a man, when one of Nabal's men went back and told Abigail what her husband had done, what her husband had said, Abigail told one of the young men, said, "Behold, David," he was telling what happened to David. He first the matter what happened to David. He said, but one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on him." In other words, he came against them. You know, somebody, he scolded them. But the men were very good to us. He's saying that these men, David's men, were very good to us. They took care of, they watched for our sheep. They watched after the goats and the property while they were out there in the wilderness. But here, let me read this to you. But the men were very good. That's what they were saying to us. And we were not hurt. In other words, they didn't hurt them. They didn't abuse them. They didn't talk to them in any kind of way. They didn't try to destroy them. They said, neither missed we anything. They didn't take anything. They didn't steal anything from neighbors and from my husband. As long as we were conversant with them when we were in the field. He remembered. He knew what happened. He knew David, the type of men that they were dealing with, that David men and David were good people. And then the word tells us they were a wall unto us. It was so many of them, of David's men, that they like created a wall both night and day, all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. Come on. He let them know, oh my goodness, these people, David and his men, they protected us. In other words, there were so many of them that they created a wall around us, protected us, protected the sheep. Now, therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Beel and a man that a man cannot speak unto him. In other words, you know, he's very harsh. You can't deal with him. You can't speak to him. Why? Because he was so uppity. Why? Because he wasn't humble. Why? Because he thought he had everything. And so, therefore, he didn't want to hear what anyone else had to say. So they talked to Abigail with the understanding. And then the word of God tell us, then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on an ass. And she said unto her servant, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband, Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, he came down by the old convert of the hill, and behold, David's men came down against her, and she met them. David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow has in wilderness, so that nothing was missing of all that retaineth him, and he has requited me evil but good. So and more also do God unto his enemies of David. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David. If I leave all that pertaineth to him by the morning light, any that pisses against Saul. And when Abigail saw David, she hastened to lighten off her ass. She fell down before David on her and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said unto him, she said unto me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thy handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thy audience and hear the word of thy handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Beel, even Nabal, for his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thy handmaid, saw not the young man of my Lord whom thou didst send.
In other words, David was getting ready to kill all of them. Everything that Nabal had, he was getting ready to kill them. He was getting ready to destroy them. But the woman, Abigail, his wife, with great understanding, she came. She had gathered all of those things together. She had prepared to give these things to David. David and his men was on their way. And when she had, when Abigail had approached David, she, in submissive, being submissive and humble, humbling herself before David, humbling herself before the men, she let them know that, hey, I wasn't there. You know, when you spoke unto my husband, I wasn't there. My husband, she tried to tell him how mean he was and how hard she was and how evil he was and how he was like the devil. But she let him know, and she wanted him to have mercy upon her. In other words, all that they had, because she was not there when her husband had spoken unto David's men. I'm telling you today, if God be for us, more than they that will be against us. And we see as she reasoned with David, she said, now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, from avenging thyself with thy own hand, now let thy enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thy handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow the Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespasses of thy handmaid. She took the blunt. She took what Nabal really had done. You know, she humbly came. Don't charge anyone else. But she's standing in the gap. She stood in the gap. Her husband even didn't realize where she was. But she had took those young men, and she took those men, rather the men that they had, and they prepared. They had gone to on their way with all that she had gathered together for David and his men. And she had prepared to give all of these things to David to soothe his anger, to soothe him from being angry and keep them from destroying. Had not she had gone, had not the men had gone back and to tell Abigail, Nabal's wife, what had happened, they all would be destroyed, because she would not have had time enough to gather all the things that she had in order to give unto David, to let him know of her regret, to let him know what had happened. So we see that as we read this word, and as we see how David was compassionate and see what type of woman that this that Abigail was, he forgave. He was able to take what she said to them and not destroy them, not to go and destroy her husband, not to destroy the thing that they had. So, but one of the things that when we see in this word of God, as the word of God tells us, look there at that 32nd verse, and he said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hand. For in this very deed, for in every deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which has kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hastened and come to meet me. Surely thou hast not been left a neighbor by the morning light, any that pisseth against the wall. So they received of her hand, which she had brought unto him, and said unto him, go up in peace to thy house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. And Abigail came unto Nabal, and behold, he had a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning. While he was at home getting drunk, and while he was having his feast at home like a king, he was about to be destroyed. But thank God that God had put this woman in the forefront in order to go and make peace with David. And after the wine and after all that next day, that when her husband was no longer drunk, she told him what had happened. In the 37th verse, I'm almost finished here, it said, but it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass after 10 days after the Lord smote Nabal, and that he died. I say again to you, for what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? All our worldly, all worldly things are worthless when compared with the life of the body. What is it to gain the earthly and materialistic things and not have Christ in your life and not invite Christ into your life? And this man was mean. He was hateful. He was not a man of compassion. This man didn't want to help anybody. But all he could think about is what he had. He apparently didn't have the Christ inside him. Didn't even know him. He didn't know the servant of Most High God. Didn't even know David. Remember how he talked about David? Who is David? Who is Jesse, which was David's father? And even want to call him, like, you know, he was like a renegade running wild. And probably ran away from his master. Oh my God. It is for us this morning to hear what God is saying to his people, to have riches. It's good to be wealthy. It's good to have the materialistic things of this life. But what is it if you get all of these things and yet lose your soul? What does it profit you to have these things and lose your own soul? We see today, as we watch the television network and we see the bloodshed, we see the people supposed to be living in prosperity, some of them that have not given their life to Christ, these people that are running around. And they try to obtain the things that are in this world, and they have forgotten completely about God. But the question posed to us today, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If you had $1 million in the bank, you can even have $1 trillion, and you don't have crops, you have nothing. Because you're going to leave all of those trillions and all of those millions for somebody else. What will it profit you? Because your soul will be lost. You will not have Jesus. And that's our point today, that we have to give Jesus our all in all. The Bible said to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto us. It's time for us to seek Christ. It's time for us to ask Jesus Christ to come into our lives. It's time to say yes to his will and yes to his way. The Bible says we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. The word of God says that we shall be saved. So it's time to confess, to believe, and to walk in the power of God, to walk in the word of God. And if we walk in the word of God, we will have the heart of God. And we will not seek after the things of this world, because the word of God say all these other things will be added to us. These things, God's going to give it to us. We didn't know how to act with the things that God has given. He didn't even give God honor and praise. He didn't even recognize him. He didn't recognize his servant. All he wanted to do was to be the big man. Do you know a big man, that all that big man want to do is to have the riches of this life? All this rich man or these big people or people that want to be big, they want to do is to tell other people what they have and what they're not going to give them, and like they did David, and like he did David then. And in the end, Nabal, 10 days later, this man was dead. He was dead. Look at what this wife, when his wife touched him and told her what happened, his heart began like a stone. And in other words, he had just lost all, and that he was not able to focus and not able to operate in the manner that he was in, that he did before. And he died 10 days later. But they touched not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. He came against God, came against a man of God. He was not kind. He was not considerate. He thought that all these things belonged to him. But we must realize that God is the King of Kings, and God is the Lord of Lords, and God is the Alpha and Omega. God is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. Yes, we all need provision. Yes, we all need to be taken care of. But we cannot forget that God will take care of us. Remember in the word of God, in our prayer, in the book, in the New Testament, it says, our Father which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. So and let us know that our God is a God that will take care of us. He is our Father. So today, we're going to ask those that are not saved, those that are not asking Christ to come into their heart, if you're listening to us on today, all you need to ask God to confess with your mouth, ask God to forgive you for your sin, come into your heart and save you. We don't know the day or the hour Christ is coming. The word of God says he's coming like a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber can steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we can have life and that we can have it more abundantly. So it is time for us to have Christ in our life. When the breath is out of your body, there's no more resistance. When you cannot confess your sins, if you are a sinner and the breath, once the breath leaves out your body and you have not asked Jesus Christ to forgive you for your sin, to come into your heart, and you live in this life of Christ, God will not save you. You've got to ask God. You got to confess, and you got to believe it. And just like the thief was on the cross, that very day, he was on a cross with Jesus. It was two thieves. It was two men that had committed sin. But when he recognized who Jesus was, he asked Jesus to remember him when he come into paradise. And Jesus let him know that day, because he knew he was getting ready to leave here. He said, let him know that day that you should be me. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. Thou shalt be with me. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, hear what the preacher is saying to you today, because it's time for you to give your life unto Christ. Stop trying to do it your way. It's not working. But do it God's way. The way that neighbor did it, it was not God's way. It was his way. May God bless and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he bless you in your going in and your coming out. This has been Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, the Hour of Power broadcast. Please join us on this coming Wednesday for another powerful word from the Word of God.